Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Under center, Cook the lone setback. Motion from Shavers right to left. Another handoff to Cook. Bends it back. Reaching for the end zone. And he's got it for the touchdown. James Cook extends the arm to the goal line. And for the second time this afternoon, the Cook is in the kitchen.
Chris Brown, voice of the Buffalo Bills, on the call for Cook's second touchdown of the game against the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Good morning. It's a double victory Monday here on WGR, joined now by Chris Brown on the Wester Hotline. Chris, happy holidays. A struggle yesterday, but they got home. They got the win.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody listening. I think at this point in the season, you're not looking for style points. You're just looking to stack wins. And I think what we saw from the Bills yesterday was not only something we saw in the Bills game. I mean, you look around the league, Houston had to struggle to beat a 2-win Raiders team. And I think some of these teams that know they're headed to the playoffs are just wanting to get to the playoffs. They're struggling to just get up for these teams that are going nowhere. And I'm not saying they play down to their level of competition, but I think we can agree that the execution level, particularly on offense, was off yesterday, especially in the passing game.
Yeah, the passing game, not much really happening there. Josh Allen only was 12 completions in this game. The running game was going early. Cook didn't do much in the second half, Chris, but man, that touchdown run in the first half, and now you know, another 117-yard performance. He's leading the NFL in rushing. He's on all these lists for Bills all time. It's really one of the best running back seasons we've ever seen, I think, for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, he goes over 1,500 rushing yards for the season. O.J. Simpson's, like, the only guy that's done better.
Right, Thurman. Thurman never even got 1,500, I think.
Yes, I think Thurman was, like, 14 and change.
Right.
And granted, he was more of a dual-purpose guy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, my God, like, what James has done, I think, has largely flown under the radar. And I had this conversation with Steve on our podcast, Bills by the Numbers, because we were assessing Josh Allen's MVP chances and also James Cook's Offensive Player of the Year chances, because I really don't feel like he's gotten enough credit for being in the running for that. All the attention goes to Christian McCaffrey, who, again, is more of a dual threat and doesn't even come close in the rushing yardage category. Jonathan Taylor, and then maybe Jaxon Smith-Njigba is your dark horse candidate on the receiver end.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, James Cook has put up one hell of a resume this year.
Yeah, JSN actually right now is the betting favorite for it, but I think especially if Cook gets the rushing title, like, I think he's going to be the number one running back in the discussion. Well, like, we'll see. Like, him and Taylor might have a little bit of a race here down the stretch, but Taylor's not been doing much lately. So he very
Bijan Robinson just went over 2,000 all-purpose yards yesterday. I know he's playing for a
right.
dog team, but I wonder if he gets consideration.
Yeah, I think Cook, especially if he's atop that list in the next couple of weeks, I might think he's going to get more talk on that, but we'll see, I guess. And right, no disrespect to Thurman had 2,100 yards from scrimmage in a season, so he's got some numbers too. What did you think of Allen yesterday and the pass game? I mean, there were mistakes. Did you think the injury was bothering him in the second half as he was – there were a couple of throws he was missing.
Yeah, there was a part of me that was wondering – not only during the broadcast, like, I wondered if his throwing mechanics were impacted by the injury to his right foot, because that's the foot you drive off of mm-hmm. when you're throwing the ball. And I felt there might have been a couple of throws where maybe the injury that he took impacted that, but he insisted he was fine after the game. You know, I think he could have a toe hanging off and he would tell you he's fine. But in any event, I wonder that. And then I also wondered if, because of the foot injury, they said, look, we're not going to run you around and roll you out, for example, and put you out there exposed if you don't have the mobility to avoid a big hit. So I kind of felt like the playbook got condensed a little bit in the second half as well, which I think contributed to their lack of effectiveness.
Right, and they go for the couple of fourth downs. So there were a couple of drives. I mean, if Dawson Knox hangs onto that ball, maybe it feels a little different for him anyway in the second half.
And Cooks dropped one, too.
And Cook dropped one, too. Cooks dropped one, right, deep. That's 2 weeks in a row that's happened. Were you surprised by their room at receiver yesterday without Coleman and without Gabe Davis?
Yeah, I thought that at least one of them would be up. So that was a little perplexing to me, because I think those two, along with Shavers, are your best blockers in the run game. And they usually have two of them up, not just one. Because I think, you know, just with Shavers in the lineup, it became very obvious what play was coming when you saw Shavers go in motion. You know, if someone like me, you know, who's not a coordinator or play caller, can recognize that, you know, the Browns defense can. So I was thinking that, you know, maybe it would be Gabe's week after it wasn't last week. And I got to tell you, with the execution or lack thereof, and you look at the production of the receivers alone in the game yesterday, what was it? I mean, if you Shakir was like 4 for 34, but
yep.
Palmer and Cooks had like, what, two receptions? That's just not enough production. You need more from that position, and you're just not getting it.
Right. Palmer and Cooks combined for one catch for 2 yards. Shavers had the 121-yarder. But those two, yeah, not much at all, really. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the room looks like going forward. I might think that one of those two, Coleman and Davis, will play next week against Philadelphia. But we'll see. On the defense, Chris Brown with us on the West Shore Hotline for another couple of minutes. The defense, Chris, how did you feel about their overall performance? We talked about this with Sal, that they got big performances from individuals, especially Jordan Poyer and Greg Rousseau.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Greg Rousseau takes over the game at the end. I mean, literally takes over the game. Everybody was talking about Myles Garrett, and you look at the thing at the end of the game, and you could argue that Greg Rousseau was the best pass rusher in the game. So, I mean, he made some critical plays when they absolutely had to have him, and that's kind of been the story with the Bills defense the last few weeks. You know, they're getting some of the same issues that were plaguing this team earlier in the season have returned, namely sound fundamental tackling. I felt it was there very early in the game, but later on it was not. And, you know, it's hard not to notice Shaq Thompson goes out of the game with a neck injury, and all of a sudden the tackling seemed to go south. A lot of extra yards after initial contact. And then, you know, you look at them not setting the edge effectively, runs getting out the gate on the outside, and then busts in coverage at times. So, I mean, were it not for Jordan Poyer and Cole Bishop making unbelievable open field tackles, there might have been two more touchdowns in the end zone for Cleveland. So they really are on the razor's edge in terms of a margin for error. Then at the same time, you've got to give them enormous amount of credit, because when the offense was going nowhere and the lead got precariously thin, the defense came up huge over the last quarter and a half of the football game, getting stops, a takeaway, and huge sacks at the end of the football game. It was just remarkable to see the way the defense was able to rise up and make critical game-ending plays when they absolutely had to have them, and it was kind of the second week where they did that.
Right. Fourth quarter, the Browns had three drives down one score, and they were able to hold them to only 3 points on those three drives and get the win. There was one play by Bishop. It was I forgot who caught the screen, but it was a lineman and the guy who had caught it and Cole Bishop, and that was like it between them and the end zone, and Bishop didn't even get touched by the lineman and made the tackle. So he had made a couple of...
Batonio, Pro Bowl guard, yes, like coming at him, and he avoided him, slipped under him, and still made the ankle tackle. Yeah, that's a touchdown-saving tackle. And Poyer had a similar one down the sideline. So
yep,
were it not for those two, the Bills might not have a victory today.
Right. Lastly, Chris, what did you think of Shedeur Sanders watching every snap for him for an entire game?
Yeah, it's interesting because Steve and I watch games a lot leading up to the weekend, obviously, just to kind of get an assessment of the opponent. And we kind of looked at each other, and I remember Steve looking at me going, Shador's not that bad. And I was like, I agree. I don't think he's that bad. Obviously, he's a rookie. There's going to be ups and downs. The deep ball is clearly his greatest asset right now. And because he knows that's his asset, he holds on to the ball too long trying to make those big plays. But I think with proper coaching and, you know, he gets with a really good coordinator. Maybe there's a change in Cleveland this year and Stefanski's out with his staff. But I think if he gets with a really good teaching coordinator, he could really sharpen up into something. I don't know what the long end game is for him. I don't know what his ceiling is. But there's ability there, I think, to be an above-average starter in the league.
Chris Brown with us. Merry Christmas, Chris. We'll talk on Friday.
Yeah, to you too. Take care.
The Bills win 23-20. That play by Bishop. Yeah, Joel Batonio, Pro Bowl guard. There's a screenshot of the whole field, and it's just Bishop, and there's no other Bill, I think, in the area, at least that's freed up, and it's him staring down Batonio and then the Browns runner with the ball, and he didn't get touched by Batonio. It really did. Like, they might lose the game if that tackle doesn't happen. They're getting really good safety play right now, which is a total change from the beginning of the year. 803-0550 is the phone number. The Bills win. How do we feel about a game like that, though? End of the season, do style points matter as much to you as they do at the beginning of the year? Because you might be nervous about the playoffs from a game like yesterday, but they stay in the division race. They stay in the one seed race even with a loss to Denver. And the Jags continue to look like the best team in the AFC over the last month. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on it. And the receiver room, Coleman, Davis inactive, nothing from Cooks and Palmer. It's dire right now at that position. It's Jeremy and Joe here on a Football Monday here on WGR.
Five-man rush, pocket collapsing, Rousseau in pursuit!
and he drops him for a huge sack. Greg Rousseau with a gigantic play to force a turnover on downs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, we are indeed rocking our way through a Buffalo football Monday here on the heels of a 23-20 win for the Bills in Cleveland yesterday afternoon. Mike Schoep has a couple of days off here in advance of the Christmas holidays this week, so Nate Geary is sitting in here today and tomorrow. I am the Bulldog, and joining us now on the Wester Hotline, you know him, you love him, former Bills center, host of the Centered on Buffalo podcast, and the Bills radio color analyst, heard right here on the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. He is Eric Wood. Good afternoon, Eric. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
I'm doing well. How did yesterday's game feel to you as it was going on? Because I felt like it was maybe one of the most annoying games of the year to me. Because I never really respected Cleveland as a team that could be a real threat. But, you know, suddenly there we're halfway through the fourth quarter and it's a 3-point game and I'm giving them the ball back. I'm like, what is happening here? What did you make of the overall yesterday?
Yeah, I'm with you. We've been begging for hotter starts on offense. We start off the first three drives with three touchdown runs. Now they scored on their first drive as well. But I'm with you. It just wasn't that big of a concern, especially as the first half is unfolding. The Bills are up 21-10. They botched that field goal attempt before the end of the half. And you're like, all right, they're the Browns. Here we go. We're getting the ball after the half. We'll get back to rolling. We had one possession where we didn't score, and that was, you know, the Josh Allen retreat and injury and that fiasco. But other than that, we were moving the ball at will on them, so you just assumed this is going to be a runaway here in the second half, and surely wasn't. You know, the Bills go three and out on their first possession, their last possession of the first half, and then essentially go three and out or turnover on downs the remainder of the game. One of the three and outs results in 3 points based upon the interception by Daquan Jones. But frustrating day. The defense comes up big again in the second half where they were able to make some adjustments. And, yeah, it was a fairly annoying game. And,
you know, the Cleveland opening drive touchdown. They have a reverse. They have an end around, you know, a bunch of check down throws, two play action rollouts. Gets Shador in space, and it's like, okay, we'll shut this down. And for the most part, they did. Now, I felt like early on they were giving Shador too many just bailout throws on checkdowns to where, you know, he wasn't going to push the ball down the field. It seemed like he was confused as he scanned the field. And so we were giving him too many checkdowns or outlet passes. Once we took those away, really were able to shut down their offense outside of a couple timely screen plays that they had against our blitzes. But, you know, to me, I would say annoying as well, because you thought this is a runaway. Trubisky gets some action. Let's get out of here healthy. Let's gear up for the Eagles and, you know, hopefully coast through the Jets and move on to the postseason. But it got a lot more interesting, just like these last few have.
Right. How it's another game where the run defense has problems. I mean, the Browns went over 160 yards on the ground. I don't know that I've ever asked you about their run defense, specifically as I'm about to now, Eric, because I feel like it's a thing that is constantly brought up because it's, well, it's bad, right? You see the totals, the first half of the Atlanta game, just different games this year where they just cannot stop teams. Tampa Bay, you know, another game.
Where they were just a holding call away from Judkins having a big run in that game, too.
Sure. But yet, I feel like even in the games where it's been bad and the Bills lost, it's stabilized enough. Like, I wouldn't say the run defense lost them the game in Atlanta as much as the Bills offense just couldn't get off the mat in the second half of that game. They limited the Falcons to only a field goal. I wonder if the run defense just makes fans feel worse because it's emasculating in a way to, like, watch your team get run over and not be able to tackle. But in the big scheme of things, I don't feel like it's something that's gotten them beat this year very often.
No, it hasn't. I mean, the biggest concern to me is that we give up explosive runs, and Nate's right. That holding call wiped out an explosive that Cleveland had yesterday. But for the most part, you know, it's the explosives that are just, like, backbreaking to where, you know, most teams don't get many 60-plus yard runs, but I feel like it's every other week where, you know, we have a bad fit at the third level of the defense, or it starts with up front, and then the safety doesn't fit correctly, and boom, there's 65 yards, there's 55 yards. These huge chunk plays are a serious issue. You know, based upon the way our defense has been built over the years and generally having a top five scoring offense, You're assuming, okay, we're likely to be playing the lead a lot of times. We're going to have a great back end of our defense. We mix and match coverages. But this year, the explosives have just come at an obnoxious rate. Like, thinking back to previous years, I can, like, pinpoint the games where those came. The Jonathan Taylor game at home.
Right.
You know, you can pinpoint those. And I feel like this year, they're just coming at a much higher pace, whether that's maybe some speed issues on the back end of the defense, you know, playing well, but, you know, a Jordan Poirier who maybe at this point of his career can't run somebody down, a Tre'Davious White who at this point of his career may not be able to run somebody down, but it's the explosive runs that are killers. Now, give them credit, they generally buck up at some point throughout the game and shut the run down, whether that's teams having to abandon the run or they set up against it.
I want to, as a follow-up, like, part of what I see, especially from the linebackers, but it's not exclusive, Eric, to the linebackers, the term guessing comes up a lot. And it does look like when they are filling gaps, they're trying, and part of playing linebacker in just not just the NFL, but playing linebacker is guessing where the play is going, meeting them in the hole and stopping it. But like on that play, Shaq Thompson's getting held. Shaq Thompson's out of position. And they got bailed out with a holding call. But I just, you know, to me, it looks like there's way too much guessing going on. And I don't know if that's a coaching thing, if it's a preparation thing, a mixture of both. But they're just, it looks like maybe we know what the answers to the test are, but let's just hope we're in the right position.
No, I think that's a fair point. So there have been times this year, so we're a gap-based defense, and you know, I know you guys hear Sean McDermott say that all the time. For those listening that don't understand that, our defensive linemen are generally shooting up the field in their gap. The linebacker is responsible for his gap, and then the safety fills in amongst that, and then the corners generally have the edges of the defense. And that's why we generally want corners that can tackle really well. So when guys, when linebackers shoot gaps, like when we would play the Carolina Panthers back in the day in the Sean McDermott defense, you know, you had Thomas Davis, you had Luke Kuechly, and you had Shaq Thompson. Well, they shot backdoor all the time, and they had so much speed to recover, and you're thinking, why can he do this? Well, that was his gap. He's shooting it. The three technique's still in his spot, so he can shoot this gap. Where I see some issues, especially this year, is especially on the interior, guys getting washed way out of their gaps. Okay, now we have a backer that generally can shoot that gap behind it, thinking, hey, here comes my tackle for loss. Well, then he looks like a fool when the gap goes in between them. And I don't want to oversimplify it because there's been many issues with the defense. Teams have gotten us with motions where the gap moves based upon an extra blocker to one side, and we don't fit it correctly. And, you know, the converse of that is, you know, the teams that play with bigger slug type defensive tackles, bigger ends, you know, a thicker five technique type, and they're trying to two gap, and then their backers play off of those gaps. Generally, in our system, it's a one gap. You're playing it, and it's mono-y-mono football, and we're not winning those matchups consistently, I'll say.
And I do think, Eric, like that does speak to the archetype of defensive tackle that you've seen the Bills kind of consistently draft and go after. They are one gap players, and they've never really had a true, you know, kind of man eating two gap one tacker nose tackle. And like, even I've been actually pretty impressed. Deion Walker this year didn't really, to me, flash NFL goods as a one tack, as a bigger kind of man eating it. He has, I think, been one of their most steady guys on the inside, has shown more one tack ability than I thought he was going to have coming in the NFL. But you know, I guess short of the fact of the matter is, Eric, is they're not changing this concept now, and or like they haven't, and they're not going to do it into the playoffs.
This is their defense.
This is what they've got. Like so for what they've got personnel wise, I think it was a little bit of an eye raiser for me seeing Larry Ogunjobi out of the lineup, as he hasn't really been great for them, but he is one of their bigger interior defensive linemen, and like yesterday they are. Got to be one of the smallest groups in the league playing yesterday with that group at defensive tackle.
No, you're right. And Deion Walker is 6'7", 340 pounds. That's what he's listed at. But at times, 6'7" can get you washed.
Yep.
Because we're shooting for hips. You know, on our double teams, someone stands above, we're shooting for a hip. It becomes really difficult to move a just fire hydrant out there that's, you know, 6 foot, 330
pounds. A
Puna
Ford type, yeah.
Yeah, you give me a guy who's 6'7", they're going to make their plays, and they're probably a little tougher to go against in the pass because they're long arms and this and that, but we're going to be able to get some movement on those guys generally, and that's where you've seen Deion Walker at times get washed, you know, 2-3 gaps out of his gap. Now, I'll say this, we've gotten more splash plays out of him on the interior than maybe anyone else this season. Ed Oliver, obviously not being in the lineup and Hoyt being out and all that. Not that Hoyt would on normal down distance necessarily be playing on the interior affect those reps. But, you know, I do think Deion Walker has been disruptive at times in getting those tackles for loss. And so, to me, you know, they're undermanned on the defensive side of the football. I think it's really hurt our defense that Terrell Bernard has dealt with injuries this season and hasn't had the mobility. Matt Milano isn't quite the athlete he was at one time. That's where you see Shaq Thompson come in and play a little more physical brand of ball. He's brought something to the table. Dory Williams as well in their base defense looks, but you know, they're going to more base defense because they understand, you know, with our limitations up front right now, based upon injury, we need bigger bodies at that second level to try and hold up because, you know, those offensive linemen aren't struggling as much to get to the second level because of some of those injuries.
Former Bills center and current radio color analyst on the Buffalo Bills radio network, Eric Wood, on the West Hur Hotline with us, part of our Buffalo Football Monday coverage each and every week here. We do tend to, you know, I'm guilty, anyone that does this job is guilty of sort of focusing and picking at the things that were problematic in the game. We began this conversation with me describing the game as annoying. The Bills improved to 11-4 with the win. How about Greg Rousseau? Find something positive here. Not only did you get plays, which, you know, you've gotten a, you know, fair share of plays. The guy got paid for a reason here. This year, I think, with the contract in mind, he's sort of been in the center of a lot of fans' ire because there haven't been like game-impacting plays from him. You know, we hear about his pass rush win rate and how good he is on, you know, run defending on a team that's terrible in general defending the run. I have trouble really figuring out what to do with that. But yesterday were game-altering plays. I mean, it's a fourth down sack. It's a grounding call that ends a drive, ostensibly. I mean, he was the most impactful player on the defense, and if it wasn't him, maybe it was Jordan Poyer.
No, I agree with that. And to me, you know, pass rush win rate doesn't always translate to sacks. You know, that could be a quicker pass where they're planning to get the ball in their hands quickly. And again, going back to right now, the limitations that they have on the interior, there's generally somewhere to step up in the pocket. So even if he wins off the edge, there's generally room to step up. We used to always say as an O-line group, it generally takes two guys winning to get a sack to where, you know, one guy flushes the quarterback and the other guy won as well, and boom, there's your sack. So as long as two of us don't get beat, we shouldn't be giving up a whole bunch of sacks. Now, there's exceptions. I understand that. But for the most part, that's how it happens. So to me, you know, Greg Rousseau was paid like a top 15 to 20 defensive end. In 3 years from now, where he's still on that contract, he'll be a top 40 probably paid defensive end. And for my money, he can play like that. He's great against the run. You don't often see, generally, when you see the runs go off the edge, it's not at him. Teams are game planning away from outside runs at him for the most part. And to me, he has had a nice season. When Bosa injured his wrist, his pass rush win rate went considerably down, and that's where we've seen less sacks. And then with Hoyt being out, Ed Oliver being out, we're not getting much up the middle, and that's where you've seen the Bills have to resort, especially in the second half, to a much higher blitz rate.
Eric Wood on the West Hur Hotline with us. On the other side of the ball, Eric, maybe before the game even started, I don't know how you guys addressed this during your roundtable portion of pregame, but seeing Gabe Davis and Keon Coleman inactive was pretty jarring to me. And considering what that leaves you at, it's like they couldn't wait to get Mecole Hardman back in the lineup. He ends up being on the field for two special team snaps, and that's all. Brandon Cooks with another big drop. I don't. Do you have even a guess as to what is happening with Coleman? Was disciplined earlier in the year and came back, and there's nothing really good happening there. But I don't know that he's, you know, a problem still within the, you know, the meetings and all the stuff, you know, being on time and whatnot. I really felt like when Davis was healthy, that maybe became a one-for-one swap. Seeing them both inactive, like I said, was kind of jarring. What were your thoughts on the choices the Bills made with their receiver room yesterday?
Yeah, I honestly think they're trying to figure out if they have something in Brandon Cooks. And after him having two awful drops these last 2 weeks on game plan specific play action plays that are set up, you know, that I don't know where that goes from here. Maybe you give him another shot, but I think you're still trying to figure out what you got in him. With Mecole Hardman, you're trying to see, do we have somebody that can impact in the punt return game? We're, I think, second worst in the league in punt return yardage. So do we have something there? You know, figure out if you have something with Mecole Hardman there. And then Shakir's got to be up. Shavers has got to be up just based upon he's a 4-4 special teamer. And he plays meaningful minutes, obviously, on offense, and he had a nice catch yesterday. But, you know, there's Coleman and Davis likely are not your core four special teamers. And so he's going to be up. And then you're trying to figure out what you got in Josh Palmer. And, you know, I would I still think he's likely your best route runner and separator. Injuries have hampered that and everything else, but, you know, extremely limited yesterday. And moving forward, I'm not saying the Bills weren't taking the Browns serious and saying, hey, we're just going to experiment at wide receiver and see what we got in Cooks and Hardman. I would be very surprised this upcoming week if Gabe Davis or Keon Coleman. I don't think we'll see them both down this week. I hope that answered the question correctly.
Yeah, and as a follow-up to this receiver conversation, because, you know, we do have a scheduled allotment. We do have to get to receiver questions in the segment at the station. But, you know...
They beat us if we don't do it, Eric. Right, it's awful.
Yeah, this is not our fault.
Yeah, I agree. That's where you guys make the most headway.
That's right.
That's where, like, you make the national headlines.
I look at how this offense, Eric, has evolved over the last few weeks, and, you know, we're seeing as much, if not more, of the three tight end sets and more Reggie Gilliam. And this is right now, and I think rightfully so, an offense, a passing offense that runs through the tight ends and the running backs. And I'm wondering how much of the issues of getting the ball to receivers. I saw Matt Harmon's stat about separation. It does look like Palmer is still the team's best separator. And I'm just wondering when they are separating, other than the as you called it, like the design plays that have been going to Cooks. How is it to you a little too? The scheme seems to be more so built around them moving more towards a scheme that values and maybe amplifies the use of running backs and tight ends in the pass game and away from the wide receivers. And if that's the case, like, how do they find open receivers, I guess, is where I'm trying to get to. Because if there are separating, and I think Palmer is separating, I think, you know, Brandon Cooks is separating, how does this offense utilize receivers enough so that it's not such a talking point each and every week?
Yeah, I mean, the goal would be maybe you don't have to. And the only reason I say that is yesterday's passing numbers are likely not much of a conversation if Knox doesn't drop the touchdown,
yep.
James Cook doesn't drop the play-action pass out of the backfield, Cooks drops the ball along the sideline, Dalton Kincaid is called not a catch, sure looked like his toe came down inbounds, and then Josh has the overthrow on
yep.
the Shakir, which was a beautiful play concept. We run mesh almost.
Yeah.
We run mesh all the time. He looks like he's going to run it. He breaks back out. He's completely wide open. It's not a pick or anything. It's hard to get that much separation. And so all that being said, we might not be even having this conversation if we hit three of the five of those, much
right.
less we should have hit all five. And so to me, hopefully – you know, this is a recipe that can work. You know, there's times where, you know, yesterday I felt like Cleveland was just daring us to take a shot down the sideline. A
lot
like,
of single high.
We're going to give you single high with press man every single time. And whether it's a Josh Allen maybe trust issue or trying to stay on schedule or whatever that is, we're just not taking those shots right now. You'd love to say if we need it, we can. But, you know, right now, the recipe we got, if guys make plays, you know, I think it's a winning formula when you have maybe the best running back in football, an incredible offensive line, a great group of tight ends, a great complementary group of running backs. Like, I don't know. I think that's a recipe that can make it work. But I will say this. I'd like to see – obviously production on the outside, because you think, okay, well, we're going to get in a playoff game and we need to see it.
Right. Real quick thought on the Eagles before we part ways for the week, Eric.
It'll be a fun matchup. Run defense better show up, because they're going to come in and I'm sure try and play smash mouth football. It's a very talented defense. I mean, Bulldog, we talk every week. I mean, and half the time I'm trying to talk everyone off a ledge, like, look around the league. There's not many happy fan bases right now. Maybe there's, you know what I mean? Like
Jacksonville
fans
maybe
are fired
yeah.
up right now, but now Denver fans think they stink. Oh, we've won a bunch of one score games. And you know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
I mean, you look over at Philadelphia, they're, you know, switching play callers and the whole works. That's happening around the league. And They're an example as well, but when you look at overall talent, they got plenty of it over there.
Yeah, there was a moment a couple of weeks ago when I would have legitimately answered, they're the best team in the league. And it wasn't on based on the form they were in. It was more like, the receivers they've got, the tight end, the quarterback, defense. Like, I think that's a complete looking team that just doesn't look like the wires are all connecting the way they should. And I just always think a team like that will probably figure it out. But they don't have to. I mean, they didn't 2 years ago. They didn't. Last year, of course, they eventually did. All right, Eric, thanks for this. Any special plans or just a quiet Christmas at home in Louisville?
No, we just host at our house. So we'll have family. I'll come over and we'll do it big with the kids in the morning and all that. How about you guys? Anything special?
Pretty laid back. My parents, 92 and 91, will be hosting a traditional Polish Christmas Eve dinner. So, like, that is something we really look forward to. We help out a little more than we used to, but still, it's at their house, the house I grew up in. So, that's a real treat. And then Sunday, my wife's family comes over, and I don't have to get out of pajamas if I don't want to. Or not Sunday, but Christmas Day, I mean. Like, it's the best. Yeah.
Nice.
I'll be there. I'll actually be at the game Sunday. I'm going with my dad. It's for my birthday. So every year I usually do a game with the dad. So I'll be in the stands texting you angry things, Eric. So be ready.
I was just going to say, this is your annual out of the booth, enjoy yourself at a Bills game.
Yeah, but
maybe
I don't.
One of those
but
one
I
day.
Don't. I don't get to tweet because the internet connection. So what I usually tweet, I then have to send to Eric as additional material for him during the game.
Well, I love it because I like using your tweets on the broadcast, anyways.
What a team, Eric! Thanks for this. Enjoy the holidays. It's a great time with the kids being the age yours are. We appreciate this, and we'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Have a great week.
All right. That's our dude, Eric Wood, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances on WGR on Buffalo Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We will hit up a timeout here, pour over what has been said so far by the Bills head coach, Sean McDermott, who is meeting with the media, who is running simultaneous to our conversation with Eric Wood. Oh, we'll pour over that, fill you in on anything you need to know on that front, and of course, throw the phone lines back open if you have a thought on yesterday's game, the receiving core, the run defense, the AFC playoff picture, all of the Sabres who've won six in a row are in Ottawa tomorrow night trying to push it to seven. That's all fair game for us here at 803-0550. Nate Geary is in for Mike Schoeb today. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Sanders in the shotgun, back to pass, pumps, fires, it's tipped in the air and intercepted by Jordan Poyer, who's coming the other way, and he's tackled at the 39-yard line. Oh, the Bills get a huge break there off the pass deflection.
Your player of the game is presented by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. Highmark is the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills because life. Jordan Poyer turning back the clock yesterday with a team-leading 11 tackles, one for loss, an interception, half a sack, and a pass breakup. Also had what could have been a touchdown-saving tackle along the Browns' sideline in this game, too. So, heck of a game by Poyer. Unfortunately, he left with an injury after he had that half sack with Rousseau and did not return. So we'll find out more on the status of his injury later this afternoon when head coach Sean McDermott addresses the media. We'll
Milano
have to see what
played really well in this game,
too. He turned back the clock, too.
And so did Tre'Davious White. I mean, we always – and it's a thing, let's face it. Bills fans talk about it every time it happens. They bring back, Shaq. They bring back
– Jordan Phillips.
Jordan Phillips. Big up Boogie Basham, A.J. Klein back in the day. They bring all these guys back. And the reason they do that is games like this. They earn it, right? I mean, you think,
they trust them.
They're going to bring back Matt Milano will be back in the building under a new contract because he'll go out and he'll flame out some other place because it won't be the same environment, won't be the same scheme, whatever. Milano will be back on another contract. Same thing. Tre'Davious White leaves, goes away for – comes back. Poyer goes away, comes back.
Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde, same thing last year. these guys, they earn something within this building when they have games like they did yesterday where they say, you know what, when you need it, the guy's going to have it. It's experience. It's savvy. Knowledge. It's how smart these guys are. It leads to plays. And in a when you're running a defense like the Bills are that's been gutted by injuries at the top, like you know, your best two pass rushers haven't played in 2.5 months, and you're kind of putting it together with duct tape, spit, and staples. You're trying to figure it out. You're talking in games like yesterday. You're talking on defense. Just give us like 5 plays over the course of the 65 plays that the Browns have. Give 5. Just play hard and give us 5 special plays. A tipped interception. It happens twice. A tackle for loss. Get us a sack on a play we needed. When we send a pressure, get it. That's all they need in most of these games. Not all of them, but in a game like yesterday, yeah, give us like 3 plays. Give us 3 or 4 plays. Mm-hmm. And they end up giving you a half dozen because these old guys are like, yeah, I got you. You know, I've seen this before. I'm going to get it. Cole Bishop sees a play for the second time and he's all over it, mm-hmm. all over it. So that's mm-hmm. why these guys keep turning up on the roster after they disappear for a minute and come back because, you know they're going to give you something when you really need it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. You know, all these guys are on the team now. That's great. You know they're going to get retreaded at some point down the line. I was just thinking about that. Trey's going to leave and come back. Poyer's going to leave and come back.
He already did that.
Right.
So did Poyer.
You know, Rousseau, he's going to run his course. He's going to play out this contract. He's going to leave. He's going to go someplace free. He's going to come back.
Okay.
Same thing. Epinesa, he's going to disappear, go someplace, never play, and come back. You know what I mean? I can just see it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm just saying. It just feels like that, right? These guys, you know, they may retire and never come back. But it just feels like that's why that happens. That's why Bean and McDermott put their heads together. You know what? Boogie Basham may have a little something-something. You know?
Well, that guy hasn't been back.
Right. That's why, you know what? That's why, you know, A.J. Klein, you know what? Call him. See what he's doing. It's crazy.
Let's go to the phone.
These are the games that get that. These are the games why they do it. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Let's go to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. Got some open lines for you there, but we're going to lead off with Bill in Texas. What do you got for us, Bill?
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My 2 takeaways. One is if we play anything like that in the playoffs, we're cooked. We're not going to go anywhere. We have got to come out and these lower level teams, we keep playing down to the competition. I don't see it happening unless we can get somebody in there who can get everybody fired up. Second, I'm worried about Buffalo in the future. If you look at all these quarterbacks that are getting paid this big money, most of them are having problems because they can't afford the players to go with the quarterback. They can't afford, like us, a defensive line that we need. We can't afford a receiver that we need. We can't afford a linebacker that we need. In the future, with all the money going to that one player, it's hard to keep people. You have to hit on the draft every year, and that's hard to do because, like he just said, when these young guys decide to leave, they're going to get more money. That's why they leave, and it's going to be hard to keep a team together. And I'll hang up, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, it's a good thing, Bill. It's a good call, Bill. I'll say this. You're right. And I think it's a common problem around the league. You get a quarterback, like the shape that the Dolphins are in, particularly when the quarterback doesn't work out. Now, if the quarterback works out, the reason you pay him is because that guy can
keep you in the playoffs every year.
Can put plaster and fresh paint on any flaws that you have and make it look great, right? And I'll say this about the Bills roster. The only problem Bills had this year was that the wrong guys got hurt. And I think around the league, you can say that there are teams out there that can put championship, and the Bills are one of them. You put a championship roster together, the problem is it's shallow. And once you get down and you start chopping guys off at the top of the roster, the backup, there's a drop-off. And particularly when it happens on one side of the ball and in one position, like it did on the defensive line this year. And it looked like it was going to be that way at corner this year, but now – with Trey, Benford, and you saw what happened when Benford goes out, when Trey, Benford, and
Hairston
and Max, now it's, you got some guys that can play. You got some guys that can play. But when you start getting down into the injuries, I think teams can put together, even with an expensive quarterback, you can put together a really good roster that can go and win a lot of games and get to the playoffs and have a shot at the whole shooting match. But if you start losing elite players from around the other parts of the roster, like at corner, like a pass rusher at the money spots, yeah, you're going to struggle. And that's where it happens. It's not so much that you can't put a roster together, it can't be a deep enough roster.
Yeah.
And then you're cooked. And that's, you know, that's hard to do.
Right. Every now, the Bills like are projected to be $4.2 million under the cap next year. Now, that's before they do any restructuring or get out from under some contracts that are not getting the value that they thought they would get. So
that's way better than they were at this time last year. Am I right?
And we'll see if there's any carryover money, although I think it's
they were going to be like $20 million over last year.
Yeah. They're finally getting rid of some dead money, yeah. But they're going to have to get out from some other contracts as well to create more space. To John in Tonawanda we go. What's up, John?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas. I am a frustrated Bills fan. And I really want your opinion about this, but I'll set it up real quick. So, you know, we've been entertained for the last 7 years, the Josh Allen era, I call it. But they repeatedly find ways to blow it in the playoffs. So I just would like to know what you think is the element that's required to get this team past the hump. Because in my personal opinion, for what it's worth, I see Josh as one of those quarterbacks that may never make it to the playoffs in a Bills jersey. He could eventually decide, well, I'm going to go try somewhere else and end up in the Super Bowl, and it would be a travesty. And so I don't know what it is, coaching, the front office, the team. I don't count injuries as a reason. I think that's an escape. So I really want your opinion on what you guys think is going to get us over the hump, because I don't know anymore. I really don't.
Well, the reason, so I'll tell you this,
hang
John,
up and listen.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, all right, John, thanks for the call. And here's the reason you don't know, because there is no magic elixir. And it's a different answer last year when they got jobbed on a fourth down spot on a quarterback sneak and a pass that went off your most sure-handed receiver's face mask on a desperation throw on fourth down that should have, would have, could have been caught, to the year before that when they – and I can't even remember what happened in 23.
Stephon Diggs drops a deep over-the-shoulder throw.
Stephon Diggs drops a pass over-the-shoulder throw deep on Kansas City. There is no – and people don't agree – fans don't agree with me. They think what they think. There is no magic elixir that's going to put the Bills over the hump. All you got to do is play well on that day. I say it a million times, nobody believes me. Play well on that day.
They haven't played well defensively.
Play well. Make the three plays you made against Cleveland, against the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship, or the Chargers in the AFC Championship. Make those plays on that day. You can do it. You got the guys. You've shown you can do it. Just make the plays on that day. And you can say, too, that the Bills made those plays and they got a chance to make them. Josh has made those plays. And one thing, you know, Kincaid, it goes off his face mask when he's diving on the ground and can't pull it in. Steph Diggs, it goes through his arms on a play on the Kansas City Chiefs. The officials, both of them are giving him the first down, and then for some other reason they don't give him the first down on the fourth down quarterback sneak. Go down the list. They've been good enough for 6 years to go to and win the Super Bowl. All you got to do is play well on your last game of the season. So it won't be your last game of the season. Just play well on that day.
Offensively and scoring-wise, you can argue for the most part they have played well enough to win games. Defensively is where they have come up short in recent years in the postseason. They've been unable to stop the opponent. Now, you are playing some of the best offenses and some of the best defenses in the postseason. So you're going to play better level of competition. But to Steve's point, that's why you have to play at your absolute best in the postseason every single time you lace them up. Because if you don't, another very good team, if they play their best, is going to beat you. And that's just how it has unfolded for the Bills each of the last several years in the postseason. We got to take a break here. More of your phone calls when we come back on a Buffalo Victory Monday on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
And Michael Badgley, who was cut by the Colts 2 weeks ago after missing an extra point. Oh! On cue. Doink.
Did you jinx him while he was kicking?
I think I may have. It's on me, Michael.
That was Ian Eagle. Michael Badgley misses the extra point. He called it like the announcer jinx as he was kicking it, basically. So that's what that was about. Got a good tweet here from a listener. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dad of Jeb on Twitter. Thank you, Dad of Jeb. He makes a great point here, and I should have brought this up with John, but I will tell you, yes, for many, many years, and you know the normal way to kind of learn since you're a young person, and John, I hope you're still listening, is exactly what John said. When you go to tackle somebody, head in front of the ball carrier, okay, to make sure that you stop them from, you know, so you're not arm tackling. However, Dad of Jeb makes a good point. He asked the question, and look, honestly, like I haven't coached football in several years now, but so I don't know what they're teaching right now at the USA football level. But he said, isn't the new tackling technique intended to be behind the runner because it's meant to cut down on concussions? That's what's being taught at the peewee level. And I do believe there's some of that going on now, which is they're actually teaching to go behind the runner and hint near shoulder, if you will, near shoulder, right shoulder as he's coming kind of left to right on you there. And the head is behind, but I don't know the exact situation and circumstance of every angle technique that's being taught these days. But it is a great point, Dad, of Jeb, and I appreciate that. And John, just so you know, that is something that has been discussed and talked about a lot. It's really cool stuff to kind of think about and talk about and break down when it comes to technique stuff in football. I really like that stuff. So thanks a lot for the call, John. and really appreciate you, you know, bringing that to the forefront, and for Dad of Jeb for tweeting me about that, because you're right. And in the break, I was literally looking at, like, what's the proper technique in today's USA football and the way they do it. And you will find some more of the head behind the ball carrier to cut down on the, you know, your head hitting in front on a collision. Let's go to Mike in Wheatfield. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, morning, Sal.
Yeah,
happy
morning.
Victory Monday.
Yeah, you too.
So for everyone who's getting all down and, you know, about the receiving core and everything, I want to point out one thing. I heard this morning, and I think it bears repeating to everybody in Buffalo. The Super Bowl winning Patriots, Tom Brady's team, went through two tight ends and a slot receiver. What do we have right now? Two top tight ends and a great slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, plus the leading running back and the best quarterback in the NFL. We just need to keep our eye on the prize, push forward, go 1-0 every Sunday, and just keep moving. I just want to let everybody in Buffalo know, like, that's where we're at. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
Love you, Sal.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Listen, I mean, yes, your second part of that is totally right. You play every game, you keep moving forward, you go 1-0. I have a tough time comparing anything that happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago, to today. Talking about this tackling technique we just were a little while ago and how things have changed. The game has changed. It's way different. But I think the Bills do have a kind of a unique way of approaching offense in today's football. Even though they have the MVP and great quarterback in Josh Allen, they still are a team that wants to rely on running the ball and tight ends. And, you know, we'll see if it proves in the end, right? That's going to be the ultimate test. Kevin in Buffalo. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGR.
Wow, what's going on, baby?
How are you, Kevin? Merry Christmas.
Hey, listen, everybody's yapping about the low-scoring game yesterday. Listen, man, we're not going to put up 30, 35 points every week. Forget about that. But my take on this is I think Buffalo is preparing for their playoff offense and not tipping their hand, showing everybody what kind of plays they could possibly be running in some of these playoff games. Number two, that defense, man, we got to figure out a way. Bob Babbitt's got to figure out a way to shore that thing up, man. Because yesterday their B runner gassed us a couple of times. I mean, yeah, we clamped down in the end when we were supposed to, but come on, man, we can't do that against a good running team. Hey, by the way, Sal, do me a favor. Tell my daughter Monique happy birthday. Appreciate you, man.
I think you just did on the radio. Merry Christmas to you too. I don't know if the Bills are holding anything back. I think there's always things that you have saved, maybe for later. I don't think they're holding anything back right now. Is anybody really complaining about a low-scoring game yesterday? I think people are, maybe what he means is that the offense in particular, I get it. You know, Kevin, they didn't score 30-something points. If Dawson Knox catches the pass, the Bills are at 30, right? Say 23 when that happened. If he catches the pass, their Bills are at 30. Their average on the year, by the way, is 28.9, which is fourth in the NFL. Bills are averaging fourth most points in the league, which is wild to think about, actually. Let's go to Rick in Denver. Hi, Rick. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Merry Christmas, buddy.
You too.
So one of the things I want to talk about is Terrell Bernard. I don't even hear anybody talk about it. Something's way off with him. I don't care if they told him that he's clear to play. He seems to be a half step off of, you know, his reads. He's missing tackles. His pursuit angles are off. And Shaq Thompson's out for any period of time. That middle linebacker position is going to be a huge issue. And I don't know if maybe all the years, with him being undersized, playing Mike, if he's finally, you know, been beat up so bad that he's just not able to do it anymore. Just like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I do think he's been hampered by both the ankle injury, which he's not in the injury report anymore for that. He was earlier in the year, and now the elbow. And I do think that offenses have changed. He is definitely even smaller now than when he was, you know, comparatively when he came in the league, and he already was an undersized linebacker. So I agree with that part of it. I agree that it's been a bit off this year for him. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not sure exactly the reason. And Shaq Thompson has solidified that spot. My feeling on Bernard going forward, though, Rick, is I do think he fits more as a will linebacker in the grand scheme of things, the way offenses are played now. You know what I mean? The way defenses are played. But right now, you can't make that switch because obviously you're not taking Matt Milano out the way he's playing either. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think Will is probably a better position for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, everybody's trying to be optimistic. I appreciate it, but there are some glaring holes with this team. I know every team has them.
Yeah.
But, you know, after watching the Jags yesterday, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, they're on a roll right now, and teams can find their rhythm. Right now they're playing good football. They've had their moments this year, too, where they've looked like very pedestrian at best. And the Bills looked very pedestrian yesterday in the second half. Let's go to who's up next. Yogesh in Michigan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin here. I wanted to bring up first, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you got it. Sorry, it said Michigan on my screen. I know Wisconsin and Michigan are rivals, you know, in sports world, so I don't want to get that wrong. Sorry.
I'm a New York guy. I'm a Buffalo Bills
guy. It.
But
go ahead, buddy.
I want to talk a little bit about the chemistry with the defense in the second half. I saw, like, Bosa and Rousseau seem to be coordinating their pass rushes together. I said, you know, you see Milano, Poyer, they were firing in the flats like they were young men. Trey White has had a real resurgence. And I think yesterday's game is a very important game for our playoff run because we need to know that our defense can win a game when Allen and the offense, you know, when they can't get it done. And I'm looking forward to you and Eric breaking this down on turf to tape. That's the first thing. Second thing, really quick, I'm hearing a lot of negativity here, man. Every year I was in high school, the Bills lost the Super Bowl. I had to live through the Green Bay Packers in Wisconsin winning Super Bowls while we're in a drought. It's Christmas. It's the holidays. Be grateful. Our guys are going out there. They're all hurt. They're putting their bodies out there. All we need to do was win in Cleveland. We did that. That's not a game where we have to show out. So I just want Bills fans to remember, like, hey, we're there with the team. You don't have to have fun right now. This is the greatest time to be a Bills fan. It's December. We're peaking. In 2 weeks, we are going to have, like, the greatest playoff run of our lives. So be positive, support the team, and don't be like Patriots fans.
Listen, your point is interesting about – I had a talk with a media member in Cleveland yesterday before the game who said – he asked me, he's like, oh, man, it must be great covering a really, really good team. And I'm like, it is, of course, right? But there's this pressure of if they don't ultimately win, like it doesn't matter anything that they did good. Like it's just that's where it is right now. And he said to me, he said, I get it. It's like when the Cavs were with LeBron. He said, you get so wrapped up in winning it all that you don't enjoy the success. Does that make sense, Yogesh? You know what I mean? And that's what he said. And I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of these things, too, where it's just like, when you see some of these things that Allen is doing, even like a guy like Jackson Hawes, like this guy was drafted in the fifth round. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and he's making these huge plays out there. We have all these guys contributing in all these different ways, and it's really cool. It's very interesting to see so many people down on a team that's only lost four games, that's on a little bit of a heater where we're winning these really crazy games in really different ways, and where we could really go on a run. So I think it's time where we just start pumping up the team a little bit more. And that's why I can't wait to watch you and Eric, because you guys are going to talk about all the little nuances, all the things the team did right and where they can improve. So I just want all our Bills fans to remember our roots.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Get to John real quick in Hamilton before the timeout. Go ahead, John. You're on WGR.
Okay, I'll be quick since the timeout's coming up.
You got it.
A quick shout-out to Milano, Bishop and Poyer for flying around the way that they did. And I think that kind of, let's say, enthusiasm is infectious. But I just love watching those guys yesterday. Also, I have a couple questions. First, Josh Palmer, you know, we don't see him. He's off screen on the TV. Did you notice any explosiveness and, you know, any separation from him? And my other question is, if I could get an Ed Oliver injury update, if you know anything, I'd appreciate that.
We are, as far as Palmer, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the film, as they say, the All-22. In real time, it's hard to see all that happening. We know they're not getting a lot of separation on the outside. I do think there are times where you could pick apart and say, well, he was open here, open there. You could do that with every play. I did notice him actually come off the field limping on the same play Josh got hurt, I believe it was. And it seemed like, you know, he wasn't completely 100% after that. So we'll see where that goes. All right, Ed Oliver, real quick. I mean, the last we heard, last we knew, the Bills are still hoping he can come back for the playoffs, and that could still be on track. And if that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if they start his IR window to return open soon, because that would give him a three-week ramp-up, John. You know what I mean?
That would be a great Christmas present for all of us if he's on the IR list. Well, thank you very much, Sal, and great job, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, John. We'll take a timeout. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.